This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
So you can win tickets to see Bare Naked Ladies today. We got to get an answer from you for a fish out of water. Who from a movie or a show was,
Yeah, I thought of some good ones.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great answers.
Should James get to do another one?
No, we'll leave it for the audience.
Holy mackerel.
But there are so many good ones.
I just thought of two monster answers. Three, actually. All from TV. All right, 215.
Mine are all from movies, so that's hilarious. There we go.
Oh, man.
There's a caller on hold who has a great one, too. So.
All right, we'll see what gets said today. By the way, I want to just say it was a real shame yesterday to see the news that John Feinstein had passed away.
So sad.
Yeah, Ree, I know you knew him.
I knew him real well. I mean, he was a frequent guest. If you are a baseball fan, especially with pitchers, one of his best books ever was called Living on the Black. He spent a year with Mike Mussina and Tom Glavine when Glavine was at the Mets. It's a phenomenal book, but he was a fun person.
Yeah, he was.
I just enjoyed his company.
Yeah, I agree. I we had him on the show a few times. I didn't read that book, but I probably read five or six of his books.
I mean, Season on the Brink is maybe the most famous sports book of all. It's up there in the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, and he wrote about college basketball. He wrote about the Army-Navy game. He was actually close with Red Auerbach when he was really young, and Red Auerbach was really old. So he used to have lunch with Auerbach every week.
Oh, and stories he told about those lunches were legendary.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And, you know, we had him on our show when we were in the midday show a few times. And, James, I'm struck by the interview two or three years ago. I remember after it happened, like three or four straight callers called in to say, and I kind of got the sense they didn't know Feinstein that well.
Yeah, and they were like,
that guy's incredible.
Yeah, I remember that vividly.
Yeah, so, you know, condolences to the family of John Feinstein. He was a real force in writing and sports writing and a friend at WIP.
Yep.
By the way, he was going to be at the Palestra on Monday. You know, Monday's the big Coaches versus Cancer, you know, breakfast, tournament tip-off.
He loved to go to the Palestra. The last time I spoke to him, not one of the last times, but I got him to autograph a book for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Before David passed, and it was the Living on the Black, as I told David, it had some great Phillies-related stuff in there. And he goes, I was just with David at the Palestra.
Wow. So. Yeah. Yeah. So Feinstein, he was a big presence, so he will certainly be missed. Also passed away a little bit on the young side before he got to 70, so that's a shame. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot, detail what happened yesterday. There were a couple different moves with the Eagles. Let's just go one by one. Player and what it means and how good they are. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few to start with, but I would say the one that has the chance to play the biggest role would probably be Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson was signed yesterday, I think, to compete with Kelee Ringo for the outside starting cornerback job. Adoree's an 8-year veteran. He is the oldest free agent they've signed. I think he's 29 or about to
be
29.
He'll be 30 during season.
Yeah, 30 during the season. So 8 years in the NFL, was with the Giants the last 4 years. He's had a real up and down career. He came in the league as like a ultra athletic, super quick. I think he played offense and defense in college, if I'm not mistaken. But I think at this point, obviously, he's lost a step. You can tell by just what he got in free agency. But I think the positive he brings is in a team that is mostly young, like, he has more starts than Cooper, Quinion, and Reed Blankenship combined. So I think he'll bring a little bit of the veteran experience that Darius Slay brought, but an average corner at this
point. Also can return kicks, too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, so he hasn't done it for a few years. He has done it in his career, but he is an option. You're right.
All right, so what about this Harrison Bryant guy?
So I like Harrison Bryant. He's more of a receiving tight end. His blocking numbers are not great. He's been pretty inconsistent with that, which is a weird fit with Calcaterra. But he's a guy 6'5", 26 years old. He's been in some tough spots.
He's played with some pretty bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's been with bad quarterbacks in Cleveland. Last year, he's with the Raiders. They draft Brock Bowers, which obviously impacts his playing time. But former fourth-round pick, I think he's more of a receiving, though, tight end than a blocking tight end.
All right, and then one more, and this is a name I'm going to butcher now, and I'm just going to say right off the bat, this guy should change his last name, because what is this? Joshua Uche?
So it's easy.
Uche?
Uche.
Uche.
Haven't you listened to my updates? I went through Elliot before. So how do you pronounce it?
Hopefully, but, I mean, that's right.
Rhea, yeah. Don't you agree if your last name was Uche and it's spelled U-C-H-E, that's a change in the name guy?
It's tough to change your last name.
Yeah, you find a way.
Add a hyphen.
I'm not going through life. Well, there you go.
Oh,
not going through life as Uche.
Yeah.
All right, Joshua Uche, who is he? How good?
Uche, there it is.
So he's a guy that in 2022, had they signed him, we'd be talking about him in a similar light to a Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. Obviously, he has not had that career. But in 2022, he was a top 10 edge rusher in the NFL. The issue is since then, he's been really bad. He was traded to the Chiefs last year. Steve Spagnuolo, who I think we all agree is maybe the best defensive coordinator in the league, if not one of the best of all time, made him a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl, barely played when he got there.
Wow.
So only 26 years old, didn't get a lot of money. I wouldn't even say he's like a lock to make the roster, but he's a high upside type of signing just because he has had that big season. And at 26, you hope you get a value signing. But
that's amazing. A guy that has that season at 24 – and then at 26 is deactivated in the Super Bowl. That's astounding.
Think about this, right?
Kind of like Bryce Huff a little bit.
Well,
Bryce Huff wasn't deactivated, but he wasn't a factor at all.
He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember correctly.
They did deactivate him?
Think about this.
He did not play.
Of the Eagles' top four.
Wow.
Of the Eagles' top four edge rushers right now, two of them were healthy scratches in the Super Bowl, just for different teams. But,
wow.
And also similar
Bryce
players.
Bryce Huff being the other. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Josh Uche, really bad against the run. So very similar.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar
one
profile to Bryce Huff.
We got all another right, Bryce Huff.
Well, yeah. or Bryce is going to be gone.
Ooh.
Is that possible?
What's the deal with that contract-wise, Elliot?
Pre-June 1st, they really can't do it. It's tough to do. But come training camp, like OTAs, you can save money by trading him at that point. Now, I know we can all say, what's his trade value? But, you know, you trade him for a 7th-round pick or someone else that's going to get cut, you do save money. So,
does the team have to take his contract? Like, do they have to pay him multiple millions to take him?
So the team that acquires him does not have to worry about the signing bonus. They get his base salary and then any like option or workout,
which should be a lot less.
Is a lot less.
All right, let's go to the phone. So your reaction to what went on yesterday? Obviously, some players, you know, still in the dangling mode. We wonder about Dallas Goedert. We wonder about Mekhi Becton. We wonder about Britton Covey, especially if you don't want Cooper DeJean returning punts, and I don't think they should have him.
And I don't think Vic wants that.
No, they got to knock that off. They survived for a year, but save that for a special circumstance, end of game. I don't think he should be the regular
just
guy.
Just saying, they've won the Super Bowl every time Cooper DeJean returns punts. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, let's go to Seth in media. Good morning, Seth.
If Joe the camera tells you that the sky is falling, even if it was, would he still go draw a bath again? I bet he would, my friend. You dirty foot guy. I can't believe you right now.
That's a good song.
That is a great song. I don't know about the singing right then, but it's still a good
song. Lots to unpack in the first 10 seconds
of
this
song. You know what, Devin? I think we need to unpack you singing 1 week earlier because that was a great soundbite. I love that. Just 1 week.
That's pretty much all I know.
Part,
1 week since you.
She was just like,
looked at me, I think, and then I don't know after that.
Yeah. So it's a great topic today with the Eagles. The thing is, I agree completely with James and Elliot. I'm not freaking out about thinking that it's a reset year because what you're doing is it's a salary cap reset.
a contractual type of a thing where you're setting a team up for success long term if you do this. And you're doing it with a team that's already competing at a really high level. It'd be a different story if, you know, they were taking the route of the Phillies back in the day where they're basically emptying their pockets in the farm system to go for it all. And it doesn't work out. And then what happened? You know, they were terrible for a long time.
Seth, here's the one thing I'll say. We know the Eagles were truly and clearly the best in the world in 2024, with the possible exception if Detroit had been healthy. We'll never know what would have happened there. But with that said, we know enough to know teams go up and teams go down. And just because the Eagles were the best in 2024 doesn't mean they'll be the best or maybe even be near it. I mean, Seth, I'll say this.
Look at 2018.
Look at 2018. Look at 2023.
Yep.
At the end. Like, there is no way you can watch that playoff game, Eagles-Bucks. Put that one, I'll say, in the VCR. Okay, no one's got a VCR. But there's no way you can watch that game and say, you know what, next year, this team's going to be one of the best this century in football. And not then have the conclusion, okay, they went up. They could go down. They could go down quite a bit. So my point is, it's nice to keep the future strong by not, you know, killing yourself in the short term or augmenting yourself in the short term and killing yourself in the long term with the cap. But, you know, there is something to be said for grabbing the opportunity to maximize your opportunity to repeat. And it doesn't feel like the Eagles are maximizing their opportunity to repeat.
Listen, man, with that logic, though, you could say if they kept these guys around, they still couldn't repeat.
It's
you know
possible.
What I mean?
Like,
if they can, I mean, it's the same thing. And you know, I draw that comparison to the Phillies from back in the day because they did go for it. You know, I mean, they went for year after year after year, basically emptying everything and cleaning out the cupboards, which left the team high and dry for the better part of a decade.
No, that's right. That's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah, Seth, give me someone who was a fish out of water, a character.
Man, I went back and watched this show recently, and it still holds up. And it was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I'm going to say Valky Bartakamas from Perfect
Great
Strangers.
Answer.
Yeah, that
great
is.
Great answer.
From where?
Perfect Strangers.
It's Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that was a great show. That was a fun show.
It's a great answer. Yeah. Like a perfect answer.
There's a couple of those type. I'm just.
Man, it's crazy. 2008 is already back in the day. Like when he says
17
like,
years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, well, he goes, like, went back in the day when the Phillies tried. Yeah. I was thinking he meant, like, the 80s.
Perfect Strangers. It was a good show. About, 35 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
So, good morning to you from Borgata. We got Elliot in for John Ritchie today. John will be back on Tuesday of next week. Hope he has a couple good days off, hanging with his family, which is great stuff. We'll get to some audio this segment of Joe Banner, things he said to us yesterday. Interesting about the salary cap and Howie Roseman and more. We'll address some of the drama in Dallas and also beat the hammer. You know, there's perception and then there's reality. And obviously the Eagles have lost a lot of players and good players in large part because of the salary cap. I mean, that's just what it is. But I did see this tweet, Elliot, that made me think how perception would be very different if the same thing happened under different circumstances. Just imagine. Now, this guy, I don't even know who this dude is on Twitter. He literally goes by X on Twitter, which is ironic. X on X. So I saw a tweet yesterday from X, and this guy says, just thought of this, imagine the fallout if the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, and it would have been insane.
Yeah.
Imagine losing all these players and losing the Super Bowl, oh my.
Yeah.
Like, people would have been like, how is breaking it up? They didn't get it done.
I mean, that kind of happened after the 2022 Super Bowl loss.
But I think the fact is it wasn't actually that. I think it was just you can't fit everybody in. Like, I think Howie wanted T.J. Edwards back. I think Howie wanted Hargrave back. But you just can't you can't fit them all.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, they've lost a lot of players.
Yeah.
What deal would you have matched?
Let me ask you a question because I'm just curious. Yeah. Are you saying given the Eagles' circumstances or if the Eagles were not in cap hell? Because I would easily
think without
cap hell, I'd take Darius Slay back for $10 million in a second.
So I definitely don't think the Eagles are in cap hell.
Well, it's too strong, but, you know, cap complications.
Yeah. But
to me, Darius Slay can still play at $10
million. Like, would you have paid Milton Williams $26 million a year?
No.
No.
Without the cap issues?
Yeah.
Well, the cap is a part of football. You can't get rid of the cap.
No, you can't. Look, I understand. No, so, if you're saying, given the circumstances right now, no, he could not pay Milton Williams.
No, I guess what I'm saying
period.
Is, I don't think it would have been financially.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. James. I don't know.
Milton Williams is not a $26 million a year player. He's a nice football player. Like,
I don't know, man. He might be better than we thought.
I just look at, like, Isaiah Rodgers, I would have matched that, right?
Yeah.
But Darius Slay, I mean, I guess you could argue bring him back. I do like the idea of going young at corner and, like, finding your next guy that's going to start. But I think there's this perception that the players are just leaving and they either even should match him. Like, Josh Sweat, would you give him that money?
No, I would not.
So
I don't think
I think these guys were overpaid. So outside of just that they're leaving, I think it was in some ways smart decisions not to pay these
guys. All right, so Elliot, for those just tuning in, and good morning if you're just joining us, represent the point you said earlier in the show about you use the word reset with Howie and the cap. What are you talking about here?
I think the Eagles are being smart in how they're attacking this free agency, and I want them to think more about 2026 and 2027 than I do 2025. I don't want them to make the same mistakes they did in 2018 when they got old quickly. They were desperate to try to get back to the Super Bowl, win it right away, and ended up hurting them for a few years, in my opinion. They got old quickly. I want the young players to play next year. I don't want them to go out and sign a bunch of stopgap veterans. I'm happy they didn't match some of the contracts that they got. The Super Bowl in 2025 would be nice, but it's not my priority this offseason.
Rhea, you okay with that?
No, I'm not okay with saying it's not. You have too good of an offense. So I think you need to fill it. With players like I really didn't like not just Isaiah Rodgers, the Oren Burks, because you don't know when N'Kobe Dean is coming back. He filled in way more than capably in the playoffs for him. So I thought for the money they could have been brought back. I didn't think Milton and Josh was going to be brought back, but the guys behind them, you know, the Moro Ojama and Jalix Hunt, you need their backups.
So Oren Burks, real quick, because I agree, $5 million, I would have signed him. He might have gone there to start in Cincy and know that here when N'Kobe comes back,
yeah,
he doesn't start.
Their defense is so bad,
that is possible where it's a playing time
possible.
Thing.
That is possible.
Yeah, so Oren Burks to me is such a good example of what we're talking about here, because I agree with you, Rhea. Oren Burks was awesome last year and such a good example of the depth they had. But if they would have brought Oren Burks back, you're probably looking at another year of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. sitting on the bench. So I want to see if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. can play as opposed to signing Oren Burks.
And I know Fangio thought, I mean, what was really odd was Fangio said he might be ready to go right now, and we never really saw him.
Yeah, and he just lied. The one time that Fangio lied.
He never
all right,
lies.
So this sense of a reset year with the cap, and what I guess can be accurately framed as not going all in for 2025 when you have a legitimate shot to repeat. Now, you still have a legitimate shot to repeat even if you don't go all in, but it's harder if you don't go all in to repeat. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. And also 13 days from the start of the Phils, your level of enthusiasm and excitement for this coming campaign, which I personally believe many people have been tepid about in the approach. All right, let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Elliot. Feels like
what's up,
I'm
Ed?
In a de facto Go Birds pod right now with Joe DeCameron.
My guy.
Hanging on to the ride.
I will never be on their podcast.
Well, you never listen anyway, so you know. No, you didn't even know when we were on the radio, but you know.
I got news for you. This is going to be in the podcast feed, so you are on the
there we go.
Pod. Yeah, welcome to the pod. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny that we're having this conversation about blind faith in Howie versus our faith in the Phillies and the Sox Sixers. Sorry. Yeah, I just think it's not so much for me blind faith in Howie. Like, confidence is earned through smart decisions, learning from your mistakes, and Howie has a proven track record of that. So I don't even think I'm really at the faith part of Howie. I just have confidence that he's going to continue to build upon these good decisions he's made, and he will make some suboptimal moves, but he will also learn from them. It's just about, you know,
he'll probably make less bad moves than other GMs. Look, Ed, I agree entirely with everything.
He's been through these things. Like, he has won the Super Bowl and had to come back. He has lost the Super Bowl and had to come back. every time Howie has these things, it seems like he learns from them and he gets better. Like, it is fair to assume that he will handle it better than he did the last time.
Well, I agree with that. And I'll also give you this comparison. This is a really high end because this is the guy that's one of the two best ever in a sport. But it reminds me a little bit of Tiger Woods in his prime. What do I mean by that? Tiger Woods in his prime won about 40% of the tournaments he was in, which is freaking absurd. But it also means he lost more. Right, it's insane. But it also means he lost more than he won. My point is, like, you know, like, how he's going to have his misses. And we do have to accept that. I mean, the one guy that called in earlier today, carping about Bryce Huff, I'm not down with that. I mean, you know, to me, like, yeah, we all know it was a complete whiff. But when you get, like, 37 other moves right, my God, give the guy some grace.
Well, I also think.
And I think most people do.
I think with Bryce Huff, too, like, the logic for Bryce Huff was solid. You know, like, sign a young edge rusher who's great at getting after the quarterback. It did not work out. The execution of it was poor. I think the logic was good.
Well, but the choice was bad.
But like, the money could have led to the reason why some of these guys are not here. Because what I'm all hearing.
Right. No, no, it ended up hurting them, yeah. For sure, 100%.
Did he try his hardest, Elliot? Like, yeah. Is this the guy that got paid and did a Derek Coleman and said, I'm done?
No, that's not the perception I got.
So why did he stink so bad?
Because they signed him to do something he had never done, and he wasn't good at it. They signed
Meaning
him,
what?
They wanted him to be a three-down linebacker and learn how to play the run and play first and second down, and he did not do that in New York. In New York, he was a strictly, like, rush the quarterback, situational pass rusher. And last year, they tried to get him to do something he wasn't good at, and he was... Breaking news, not good at it.
Well, yeah, but you would think that Vic Fangio, who with pretty much every other player kind of found their strength and capitalized on it. I mean, look at Zach Bond, guys who he really got to show their best football skills off this past season, and you would think that he would be able to work with that.
I just think, you know, they messed him
up. That's what kind of makes me concerned when it comes to Bryce Huff. I don't know about the effort. Like,
Well, I'm glad to hear. Well, on one hand, I kind of wish you said his effort stunk, because then theoretically you can
fix that.
I think they messed him all up. Like, I think he was learning instead of, like, just playing with instincts. I don't think he was confident out there. I just think it was a bad situation.
He was also hurt for a little bit.
And then
the
wrist thing happened.
All right, Ed, give me an answer. A character that was a fish out of water.
It's actually two, but you can't mention one without the other. Winthrop Lewis III and Billy Ray Valentine in Trading Places.
Well,
you got to pick one.
I'm giving him the first one. I mean,
which
that's
a shame, because Billy Ray Valentine is the much better
100%.
Answer. 100%.
I agree.
So true.
Because Winthrop is not a fish out of water. Like, he works with Billy, but he's not like, he's never, like, he's the one in water, and Eddie Murphy's coming along to shake
it
up.
Well, I think he means when he kind of gets poor and is, you know.
A little bit.
But it's not
It's the
right
worst answer. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh
my All right.
Gosh.
Coming up in 1 minute, Joe Banner said some very interesting stuff to us yesterday about Howie and the salary cap. We'll get to the salary cap reality, what Banner said to us yesterday, coming up in 1 minute. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Are you feeling lucky? Well, you should be, because at United Tire and Service, you get to pick your own pot of gold. Buy four new tires and choose your treasure, a free oil change, a free alignment, or the best road hazard coverage on the house. And you still get all the manufacturer's rebates and United Tire's loyalty rewards. But do not push your luck. The deal will disappear in a couple weeks on April 7th. So no need to chase the rainbow for really great deals. All you got to do is get yourself to United Tire and Service. There are 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. They are exceptional at what they do. I take my car to United Tire. Certainly encourage you to as well. Visit UnitedTire.com, both to find the location nearest you and to schedule an appointment. UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Well, the Eagles drove with Joe Banner for a long time, about a decade and a half. And while it did not result in a championship, it certainly resulted in a lot of success. And, you know, obviously a blueprint in many ways for how the Eagles still run their organization, how he learned from Banner. We talked to Banner yesterday, and one of the things that he talked about was the cap difficulty the Eagles are in. Let's listen to Banner yesterday.
How challenging is the cap situation? You tweeted about that. More challenging than we realize. How bad is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't consider it bad, because they've been to three Super Bowls in 8 years, and part of it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's hard to call it bad. Now, it does mean, though, that you're seeing right now they have to make some choices that they probably would prefer not to and lose some people that were still in a position that could have helped them. And going forward, it loosens back up, not all the way to where they were. It's mainly driven by the fact that they've taken the approach that they're going to always push forward cap charges, so take the lower charge now and the higher charge later, which dramatically increases your chance of having to take what in the league we would call miscellaneous charges, which is charges left for players no longer in your team.
Mm-hmm.
So as you take the risk of that, there is some price to pay. So, you know, this year the Eagles have almost $50 million in miscellaneous charges. So the league is basically working around. They got off here at $280 million cap. The Eagles really only have $230 million to spend. That's the reason that you're seeing them need to leave, let some players go that they prefer to keep. But they've benefited from this system. So you can't go, oh, we got all this benefit, and oh, my God, now there's a price to pay. Because I think you have to say, with going to three Super Bowls in 8 years, the price is worth it now. It's not like they're going to be in some huge retrenchment here and they're going to have to go back to stinking or anything like that at all. It's just going to be harder to overcome kind of a more limited cap than they've historically had. Now, part of the reason they did this, which was also very smart, was the cap was going up very dramatically. So the price you pay for mistakes is automatically reduced just by that. So I think for the next couple of years, you're going to continue to see them have to make some tough decisions, but this is the most challenging year. They'll get the compensatory picks out of this, and then the impact of this will be smaller but not non-existent going forward.
I was glad to hear this is the toughest of the year. So
yeah, that made me feel good.
That part
too.
Was so good.
I disagree with his assessment there of the salary cap. So obviously, I'll start by saying Joe Banner has run a team. So I do understand he, you know, has
Elliot campaigning to be the next president
of
the
Eagles. Well, Elliot believes he could be GM of the Eagles, just so you know, Joe.
He's shooting low. I'm going for president of the United States. He's going president of the Eagles, but go ahead.
Joe Banner's making the point that the dead cap money is hurting them, right? I don't think that's the case. The Eagles have enough cap space to go out and sign more players if they wanted to. The issue is not the cap number. The cap number can be manipulated and moved around. So when Joe Banner says the issue is they have $55 million in dead cap, yes, that's not ideal, but that is not what's impacting
So what
them.
Are you saying the issue is?
The issue is more like just a cash thing, right? In terms of they have paid Landon Dickerson, Devontae, Saquon, AJ, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson. Like, they have handed out a ton of large contracts. So that is why they are not going out, in my opinion, and handing out Milton Williams contract, Josh Sweat contract.
And because they have more contracts coming.
Right. So when Joe Banner says, like, and he does correctly say that the way they've done it has helped them, I think the Eagles care 0% about the dead cap money hits. Like, I can pretty much say that for a fact when I've heard them explain this. So, like, I think the issue is not the dead cap space. And now next year in 2026, it goes down to 30, which is nice. But the reason the Eagles do it this way is if they stretch things out over 5 years and it's $10 million each year, it's a smaller percentage of the cap in the fifth year than it is the first year
because
the cap goes up.
Yeah,
so the dead cap hits are somewhat irrelevant. It's just not the way I look at it, and I don't think it's how they look at it either.
So one more thing, and then right back to the phones. Elliot, we touched on this yesterday, but you weren't with us. Can you explain why, because I am truly befuddled on this one. Why is this the year that suddenly there's less willingness to spend cash, not cap?
So, right.
Like, they are an incredibly lucrative franchise. They just won the Super Bowl. I can't imagine they've ever sold more shirts and hats and all that stuff. So why is there a cash issue?
So I don't have access to the book, so I can't give you probably a great answer on that. But the best answer I could give you is, A, like I said, they have handed out. I mean, a lot of players on their team make a lot of money. It's not like they you know, have a cheap roster. And I think Lurie has spent the most money in the NFL since 2016.
Yes.
So you're right. Like, they are not a cheap organization. But I truly think it is they have paid a lot of people. Like, so they paid Landon, Devontae early. If they would have waited and paid them when they were up, they would pay that this offseason. So they basically just spent money from this offseason 2 years ago. And then next offseason, they're going to have to pay a lot of people too. So I don't think it is like a lack of cash. I think it is just they have allocated their cash
in other
places.
Is it their budget? Is it their internal budget?
You know, like maybe, but I feel like if I phrase it that way, it's almost like I'm saying they're sitting on cash and just not spending it. I think they're probably spending the most they can, but next year they're going to have to pay guys too. And I just think Josh Sweat and Milt Williams are not worth the money they got. I think the other decisions, which are smaller amounts of money, are more interesting in terms of Isaiah Rodgers, Oren Burks. But Milton Williams is not worth $70 million guaranteed.
Oh, I agree with
when
that.
You,
I agree with
when
that.
You've already paid a ton of people, and you're going to have to pay a ton more people next year. So I think it's more about cash allocation than it is a lack of cash.
All right, so Elliot in for John today. 215-592-9494 for you to weigh in. By the way, two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think Brandon Graham will play for the Eagles in the 2025 season? A, yes. B, no. Second poll question, how excited are you for the start of the Phils? Comes up now in 13 days. I mean, we really are getting close. How excited are you? We've got three different tiers here. Tier A is extremely excited, which is what I am, but I sense many are not. B is somewhat excited, which I sense most people have been and probably still are. And C is not much excited at all. And if you're a Philadelphia sports fan and not much excited at all for a team that has a shot to win a World Series, I don't know, man.
Also, in a time when we really don't have much else to watch aside from the Eagles offseason.
Can I reframe that?
Sixers are.
I mean, Rhea, Devin.
Yes.
We have zero to watch.
Zero. Like, unless you enjoy watching
the tournament.
The Sixers.
I was looking forward to watching Cooper Flagg in the tournament. Now I don't even know. James, this guy going to play? Is he done, Rhea, for the tournament?
I don't know.
He shouldn't play.
I mean, that was a vicious fall last night.
When you are.
I just want to know what it means for the Sixers' chances of getting him.
Increased.
Right.
No, he'll go number one.
He's going to be the number one pick.
No, you're missing the point, Elliot.
He twisted his ankle.
No, but it's a sign of a player that will have injured derailment.
Yes, that sounds
and those guys find their way.
If
you don't know who we're talking about, we're talking about Duke's. Yeah, talking about Duke Star is probably going to be the number one pick, and he may miss the NCAA tournament. He's certainly going to miss the remainder of the ACC tournament. Pretty nasty fall yesterday. All right, Beat the Hammer, coming up in 5 minutes. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line. Caller five for Beat the Hammer, 215-988-1258. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
So, Elliot, your take on the Phillies and the Sixers basically being interchangeable in terms of their heartbreak is ridiculous. But you redeemed yourself with the analysis that you just gave, so I'm going to give you a pass.
Thank
on that.
You. I'll take 50-50 there. Yeah,
you know you're my guy. Well, 50-50, accordingly, is to the first caller this morning, is what Howie Roseman's record is. So
yeah, that was absurd.
So I guess my problem all week listening to all the callers and all of the commentary and seeing what the Eagles have been doing is I really don't understand what anybody expected. Like, so the Eagles have, if you look around the league, the Eagles have more truly great players under contract, under high dollar value contracts for next year than any team in the league. Every single one of the best players from the team that just won the Super Bowl is under contract for next year, and all of them except for Lane Johnson are under 30 years old. So if your cap situation is a result of mismanaging the cap, if your cap situation is a result of paying a, top...
Yeah, the wrong people. Paul George, yeah, the wrong people.
$90 million, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Then that's cap purgatory. But when you have limited cap space because you have literally 15 of the best players at their position in the league under contract, and they just won the Super Bowl.
No, I think that's fair, Ken. Yeah, yep.
This notion that they're punting on the 2025 Super on Super Bowl 60 because Oren Burks isn't here and because Isaiah Rodgers is here.
Yeah, but Slay, Ken, they could have kept Slay, man. He's pretty good still. No, it's going to end soon. I mean, it's going to end in the next 1 to 3 years, and maybe they surmise it's going to be next year, and let's pull out now. But I thought Darius Slay was still outstanding.
Well, according to Slay himself, he's only going to play one more year. At least that's what he said, right? I mean, it's important to kind of note, I think. Oren Burks was not even on the field for the first defensive series against the Packers, okay? The first defensive...
What did he do in the first special
play
teams
of the
play
Packers game?
Of
yeah.
the Packers
yeah.
game?
No, not the Packers, because he got...
he caused the fumble on the kickoff yeah. in the Packers game.
Yeah. First play of the playoffs.
First play.
Yeah. Special teams. N'Kobe Dean got hurt in the Packers game.
No, I know. We were just saying, Rio was saying he did something in the game, even
yeah,
if he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that set the tone for the whole postseason.
I'm not saying he didn't. What I'm saying is that Jeremiah Trotter was the starting linebacker on the first defensive series against the Rams the next game.
Well, for what it's worth, Burks played a lot more. So
they did, but the point is...
I do hear your point. Give me an answer for a character that was a fish out of water.
Well, she was literally a fish out of water. Daryl Hannah in Splash.
Was waiting for it.
Look at
ooh,
that.
Oh, I thought they were going to say
great answer.
Daryl Hannah in Splash.
What do you think he was going to say?
The one you were going to buy off.
Oh.
Center,
yeah.
Wait, what, do you guys got your own private conversation over there?
Well, you go and sit by yourself each break, so yeah.
Wow.
So there are private conversations. I would just like to hang with you during the break.
I know, it does hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I'm a little behind today on the audio for
you got
the
show running.
It's going
to
lock in.
I have to keep because, James, I didn't have a great sleep, and I
get it.
Joe,
I know you incredibly well. I get it.
You know, I mean, I try to be extremely prepared. I'd say my preparation today was a 9.8 out of 10 instead of my usual
you are very prepared,
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I actually have now caught up, but it took a couple breaks. You know what hurt, my feelings? Actually hurt my feelings. Disappointed me.
It's okay to be hurt.
At fantasy camp a couple years ago. And then I had to reevaluate how I went about it. So after each at-bat when I had fantasy camp, James, you'll remember I had every at-bat chronicled.
Of course
like,
I
here's
remember.
Here's exactly
sadly.
What I did.
Like, were you writing it down?
Yeah, I put it right in my phone, right? Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, wow.
As soon as the at-bat was
over.
Was
this for content or
for content
to, like,
on
learn.
The air?
Okay.
So
yeah.
I could, because otherwise I can't remember it all. You have 12, 14 at-bats, 15 at-bats. You're not going to remember it all. And then one of the guys said to me, like, 2 or 3 days in a fantasy camp, he's like, you know, you always go and sit by yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. I mean, I felt bad because, like, it was perceived by that guy as being rude. I was just trying to serve the show.
That's showbiz, baby.
That's showbiz, but this guy thought I was rude.
It's like Namdi saying he just liked the food better in the car.
Well,
you know what?
Like, I eat my car sometimes, too.
Well, after doing this show, I can see that.
All right. We'll get to the Cowboys drama after Beat the Hammer because there's some funny stuff going on with Big D. But let's crank up a little game right now. We call it Beat the Hammer.
The Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, our contestant for Beat the Hammer today will be playing for a Philadelphia Eagles hat. Apropos, of course, not too long after they won the Super Bowl. Now, the problem for our contestant, Jaden, is he is extraordinarily unlikely to win. I mean, I got 277 wins.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, what are the chances? Jaden, what are the chances you win? Like, I'm me and you are you. So how do you think you're going to win Beat the Hammer against the Hammer? Doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to win because I'm me and I'm better than you.
Love it. Jaden,
we
haven't had some real fire coming in a while.
That was almost like the rubber and glue thing. What was that line back in the day?
I am rubber, you are glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
Yeah.
I think I might have blind faith in Jaden to do this.
Jaden, what's your best topic? Well, I mean, because my best topic is every topic, but what's your best topic?
Eagles. Anything Eagles.
It's a good topic. To
you might have a shot for that this week. We'll see.
Sounds confident.
All right, Jaden, I'm going to step away. I'm going to step into, down the hallway. We used to call it the soundproof booth. We're in a different location at Borgata, but I go out way out of earshot range. So I wish you good luck. I expect a victory, but we'll see what you got. Good luck, Jaden.
All right.
Yeah, good answer, Jaden. Scram! Get out of here. Get out of here.
All right, so I'm doing the timer.
Yes, Elliot, the last time it was a fiasco. Elliot, just remember when Joe's answering questions not to go.
Oh, trust me.
No grunting.
It's absurd.
Yikes.
I get more nervous for this, like, 4 minutes when I fill in than any other part of my job.
You don't have to do anything. Like,
it's crazy.
I'm the one reading the questions. Devin, doing the clock. You're most nervous.
He just takes it so seriously.
So
he is intense.
He jogged over there, so he is almost.
All right. How about that?
Far enough.
It's 55 seconds to confirm.
Correct. 55 seconds. Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Jaden, are you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
I am ready.
My man. All right. Category for the week. You're in luck. It is Eagles related. We are doing a category based on Eagles free agency this year. So any player who is involved in free agency, in a trade, in a re-signing is on the table. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
I'm ready.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Here we go. Question number one. Kenny Gainwell is one of four players who have scored a touchdown for the Eagles in each of the last four seasons. Name two of the other three.
Jalen Hurts, Saquon. No.
Prior to Zach Bond, who was the last Eagles linebacker to be selected to an All-Pro team?
Ooh, pass.
Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are two of seven active players who have led the league in rushing for a season. Name one of the other five.
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Sweat is one of seven players with two and a half or more sacks in a Super Bowl. Name one of the other six.
Pass.
Prior to the CJGJ trade, the last time the Eagles and Texans made a trade involving a player was in 2012 when the Eagles acquired this former All-Pro linebacker. Name him.
Pass.
Prior to Zach Bond, who was the last Eagles linebacker to be selected to an All-Pro team?
Time.
All right, we got one. We got one. I don't think it'll hold up if I had to guess. We will find out.
He's jogging back right now.
I don't know if I'd call it jog. It's more of like a...
Look at him go. He's got the hands up.
A mom walk?
Yeah. It is definitely an airport jog vibe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wants to get to the gate, but doesn't want to go all out.
Appropriate with the Big Panther music.
I heard the airport jog line. Yeah. I will say, it was not exactly O.J. Simpson in the Hertz commercial.
Mm. I remember. I think the two people you're talking to don't, though.
So I only remember it because of a documentary. I don't remember.
They were classics.
O.J. would, like, jump over chairs and run around people and then pull out a glove and get down to the business.
Oh, stop.
No.
Jeez Louise. Are you serious? what are we saying? How do we keep going
By the way, I got to say, speaking of getting down to the business, the Hammer has to get down to the business right now. So let me just say this. I really did appreciate what was said to me at the Birds Town Hall by many people about Beat the Hammer. They loved the segment. You know, words like exceptional. We're put in the same sentence as the Hammer.
They were talking about the questions, how great they are. Is that what it was?
They were saying, Hammer, I don't know how you do it.
And I
appreciate that. But the Hammer's got to say, he doesn't think the people went far enough with the compliments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just saying, the Hammer, like, all right, let's do it.
Wow!
Let's do
what we can. Wow!
All right.
Wow! Shut his hole.
Is that better for you?
That is better, man. That's good. This Jaden guy, how did Jaden do?
You ready to roll here?
Ben, always.
Good. Well, it is an Eagles category. He was hoping for an Eagles category.
Okay.
Category for the week is free agency, trades, anything to do with the player who's been involved with the free agency period this year, whether it was a trade, whether it was a signing. Questions are about them. Are you ready to roll?
Hold on. Just one question. I'm sorry. Sometimes I joke. You're saying it involves players that were free agents
all
this
questions
year?
Are related to players who were either traded by the Eagles, re-signed by the Eagles, or
this
left
year.
The Eagles this year.
Fair enough.
Ready
so
roll?
Dallas Goedert could not be involved because there's been no movement.
Correct.
Okay.
Ready to roll?
Fine.
All right. Here we go.
I have no idea what college Milton Williams went to, so I hope you don't ask. Go ahead.
I don't know if I know either, so we won't
I have
there.
No clue. Well, where did Milton Williams go?
It was a small school. It was like Central something.
Texas,
or,
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's roll. Here we go. Question number one. Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Here we go. Kenny Gainwell is one of four players who have scored a touchdown for the Eagles in each of the last four seasons. Name two of the other three.
A touchdown in each of the last four seasons?
Correct.
Name two of the other three. So Jalen Hurts would be one, and Dallas Goedert would be the other.
Prior to Zach Bond, who was the last Eagles linebacker to be selected to an All-Pro team?
I will say the answer to that is... I don't know if they count Reddick. I'm going to say Jeremiah Trotter.
Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are two of seven active players who have led the league in rushing for a season. Name one of the other five.
That have led the NFL in rushing?
NFL in rushing, the league.
I'll say McCaffrey.
Josh Sweat is one of seven players with two and a half or more sacks in a Super Bowl. Name one of the other six.
Reggie.
Prior to the CJGJ trade, the last time the Eagles and Texans made a trade involving a player was 2012 when the Eagles acquired this former All-Pro linebacker. Name him.
Ryans.
Bang! Why do they bother? I mean, I'm assuming Jay didn't go 5-for-5, right?
5-1, 5-1.
I mean, Hammer on steroids! Hammer! I really don't know what to say. Like I told you, I did. The Hammer felt shortchanged with the compliments the other day. I mean, Ellie, you got to admit, they weren't the easiest questions.
No, you smoked that, man. And you did it quickly. How long did it even take him?
He actually ended right as the clock.
That was really good.
That's how you do. Actually, yeah. Hold on. I take it back. That's not how you do. That's how the Hammer does. 278.
The people here are definitely like, what in the world is going on?
Jaden, what do you have? Listen, Jaden, they weren't the easiest questions. So 1 out of 5, like, not great, but it ain't that bad. But, I mean, Jaden, you're not the Hammer. And I told you that on the way in.
Jaden, we feel you, buddy.
It's more difficult when the lights are on you.
It really is. I always say it. I always say
unless what, Jaden? Unless what?
You've played the game 400 times. Unless 300 times.
Jaden?
Unless you have 277-something wins. That you got
similar answer, but I'm going to say this. Unless you're the Hammer. I need to hear you say, unless you're the Hammer. If you say those words, you'll get the Eagles hat. If you don't, you won't. Say the words, unless you're the Hammer.
Unless you're the Hammer.
Oh. All right. You're really into this. You're really into this. Say it. Do it. Do it. If you want a prize, say it.
Oh,
it's like your
man.
New thing.
Jaden, you have won. Courtesy of losing manhood, you have won an Eagles hat, sir. I'm going to put you on. Hey, Jaden, all jokes aside, thanks for playing Pete the Hammer, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, pal.
Thank you.
Yeah, you didn't sound very happy on the way.
Can you even enjoy the hat at this point?
Yeah. The manhood line might have thrown it over the top.
Every time he puts the hat on, he'll have to remember.
The last time I used that line.
Which is,
what he did to
that.
Have to get it.
I used that line a couple weeks ago, and Amy from Villanova told me that was too far. So I might get a scolding later today. Jaden, you have won a Philadelphia Eagles hat. I have won Pete the Hammer for the 278th time. And with that, Victor 278, we shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So did Reddick not get first team at linebacker?
He wasn't considered a linebacker.
Not considered,
at least according
That's...
to the Eagles and Pro Football Reference.
Which is crazy because he is considered a linebacker, technically.
Yeah. But according to the
I didn't remember him
numbers.
Getting that designation, which is why
he
I went
got it as a defensive end, was what he was all-pro.
No, I didn't remember him getting it at all, but obviously he
I don't know if he
it.
Got it at all, to be honest, but he's definitely not a linebacker for the Eagles who made an all-pro team.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. 215-592-9494. Let's play some audio here because the Dallas Cowboys have a mess going on. Well, in a lot of different ways.
Always
but it got
a
even,
clown show, Joe.
Right, right, right. Yeah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. So DeMarcus Lawrence followed in the footsteps of DeMarcus Ware, being a really good Cowboy, being a part of a couple good teams, but a bunch of teams that in the end just don't get it done. And DeMarcus Lawrence, if you missed it this week, left to go play for the Seattle Seahawks.
I did miss that, by the way.
I did too, James.
I did miss it. I didn't, until this audio came out, I had no idea.
Did
all the Eagles moves distract you?
Yeah. There's a lot distracting me. So DeMarcus Lawrence was introduced in Seattle yesterday and did some interviews on the side. And I want to play a piece of audio of DeMarcus Lawrence talking about the Cowboys. And then we'll get to what Micah Parsons put out there. Let's listen to DeMarcus Lawrence yesterday.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
How great.
We're here.
James, how great.
DeMarcus Lawrence, welcome to the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us.
Honestly, it might be my favorite audio we've played all year on this show. Like, it is
really?
So great.
In terms of, obviously, it's not winning the Super Bowl, but for Eagles fans, in terms of a quote, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah.
It
really doesn't.
You really couldn't script a better quote.
It's phenomenal. And so then there's a back and forth, because after that is disseminated yesterday all over social media, So Micah Parsons, who's probably their best player, I mean, either him or CeeDee Lamb, probably Parsons. So Parsons put the following up on social media. He said, this what rejection and envy look like. This some clown bleep. And the bleep is a word that begins with S and is four letters. So Parsons fires back at him, not happy. So then DeMarcus Lawrence fires back saying, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left.
Wow.
That is a burn right there.
Also, like, I'm just curious, like, what team does DeMarcus Lawrence think he was on?
I think Micah Parsons might have spontaneously combusted in fire because he got burned so bad there.
Right?
DeMarcus Lawrence, like, you were on the teams that have not won over the past few years. Like, it's great theater and everything.
But I think he's taking shots at the organization.
It may not have been his fault, though. He was pretty good, man.
I think he's taking shots at the organization. They don't do enough to help us.
Like, I put him in the Ryan Kerrigan categories. Like, some guys do their job for their team. But if Ryan Kerrigan's on Washington and they never have a quarterback and they have a bad owner, nothing you can do.
No, it is hysterical. Nothing you can do. For sure. It's hysterical. It's just funny that he acts like he was, you know, like on some other team the past few
years. He was a bystander, Elliot.
Yeah, exactly. It was like their third highest paid player.
So anyway, we just wanted to, you know, give you a little extra pep on your step on a Friday morning here with some good old Cowboys farcical nonsense.